Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Believe in Ravens podcast. This is the live post-game reaction show for the AFC divisional round. Daniel Wilcox and Matt Trigger. This episode is brought to you by BetOnline.ag, the number one most trusted source in online betting. Where do we begin?
Man, disappointment. I mean, that's all you can start is start with disappointment, man. Super disappointing. The entire game didn't go the way I expected it to go. I mean, we were super high on this game. Just felt like we was going to run the ball down their throats, and we just kind of went with another game plan. It seemed like started off trying to get the ball to Henry a little bit, but, you know, hell, how many carries did he end up with, Matt?
16 carries for 84 yards and a touchdown. Justice Hill ran for 8.5 yards a carry.
Yeah, that's not enough. It's crazy.
You know, if you look at the stats, if you block out the final score, the Ravens outgained them on the ground. They outgained them in the air. Lamar Jackson threw 2 touchdowns. But then if you actually watch the game,
there's the
interception. There's the sack fumble.
Yep.
And then Mark Andrews had 3 huge plays that changed the entire complexity of the game. The early drop,
on the crossing route.
He was on his back shoulder, admittedly, but he didn't come down with that. Then he's, you know,
the fumble.
He's got plenty of open space in front of him, and he tries to cut it back. In that situation, Taron Johnson punched it out. Then
the drop 2-point conversion.
The 2-point conversion. Out of the entire offensive scheme, the last thing you do is you throw the ball to your tight end that's had a rough game, and you try to go back to the same well. I don't know that was the right call, and I don't, you know, it's easy to armchair quarterback it now. They could have done a million different things, and one of them is run the ball.
I feel like they did 100% the right thing. Mark Andrews is a freaking superstar. He's a dog, absolute dog. Yeah, he had a bad game, but when guys have a bad game, you don't stop going to them in this league. This is the league where you keep going to them because you know they're going to come through in the clutch. So you gave him a chance to erase the mistakes he made, and he gave himself another mistake. You know, he turned his ball too early. He turned his head too early on the drop ball. That's it. I mean, anytime it's snowing, it's raining outside, you have to concentrate and watch the ball all the way into your hands, all the way in. He turned his head right before the ball got there, and he dropped the ball. Then the fumble, he had the ball high and tight where it was supposed to be. The kid just made a great play. He tried to jump back, and the kid punched the ball out, made a heck of a play on the ball. You can't be mad about that. Really, honestly, you can't. I can't anyway, but, you know, he could have went down, could have put 2 hands on the ball. He wasn't in traffic. He was just running down the field. And then the last play, the ball hit him right where it hurts. You know, hit him right in both of his hands. Lamar put the ball where he could only put it at. And you gave your best, one of the best players on your team, you gave him a chance to redeem himself. And he dropped the damn church's money. I mean, he dropped the bag, bro. Like, what? I mean, what do you do? I mean, you have to – in this league, this is the league that you go back to, guys. As a quarterback, you learn over time when your guy make a mistake or drop a ball or fumble a ball, you don't turn your back on him. That kills his confidence. You go right back at him. And he had made plays after the drop ball, after the fumble. He had already made other plays too. So you can't count on him dropping that ball at that moment. Lamar did 100% the right thing. You put the ball in the most clutches receiver hand that you got on the freaking team, and that's Mark Andrews, and he dropped the damn ball. Got to make that play.
Do you put this again? Do you with it still being fresh, do you put this on Lamar at all?
I put it on Lamar because he gave up 2 turnovers by himself. You know, the first interception, it looked like it was a corner route. He thought Bateman was going to keep the corner high. Bateman turned the corner low. He turned low on a sharper angle. Lamar threw the ball up like he was going to go for the gusto. And he probably put it in a perfect spot if Bateman had kept running vertically. But he didn't keep running vertically. He broke it off like he was going to the hard corner instead of the deep corner, which most corner routes, you throw the ball to the pylon. So Lamar probably wasn't wrong for the throw. They just misread each other, and they went on the same page. You know, it turned into an interception. Then the last one where he fumbled the ball, I've seen him do stuff like that before. That really, really, really frustrated me because that, in my mind frame, puts me, as a coach, when I've coached and I've had guys make plays like that, it's like a desperation type feel, right? Where you see a guy kind of dangling the ball out when somebody's trying to swing him down, and he's still trying to make a play, and it's like a desperation type thing. I'm like, protect the ball, he'll play again another play, you know? So in the games like this, you have to freaking protect the ball. Two early turnovers, and yeah, we lose the game by 2 points. You know, it was a bunch of questionable things. We went for the two-point conversion earlier in the game, and I felt like we should have just kicked the field goal. Tucker has been automatic. You know, he ain't missing like the last 5 weeks. Let him kick the ball, let him be down by one. And then the last two-point conversion, all you needed was another field goal, and you would have tied the game up. You know, so there's a lot of different ways that you can go at this thing and point the fingers on who you want to point them at. You know, but at the end of the day, Lamar had to play well in this game for us to be great. And we had to play well in this game for us to be great. And we just made way too many freaking mistakes. We lost the turnover battle. You're supposed to lose the game, period. End of story. Three turnovers to, I think they didn't have any at all, right?
They didn't turn the ball over at all.
Yeah.
And so I do want to shout out the defense.
Yeah, they played their ass off.
The defense played their ass off. It was one of those situations where they did as much as they could given the amount of mistakes that the offense made. When you turn the ball over three times and you're going out there on a short field, and I believe two out of those three drives, they held them to a field goal. Yeah. You know, that's still a 13-point swing. Right. And, you know, it's tough, man. You know, they're out there playing their best. Stevens got hurt, and Tre'Davious White came in. There wasn't a – and I'll say this throughout the course of the game. Other than that pass interference call, I really don't think that the officiating was bad this game. The officiating was bad for most of the weekend, but they called a relatively fair game down the middle with us. And I can't put any of that on the referees. Didn't put us in any position to lose. We did it ourselves. And that's,
they let everybody play today. Cause I've seen some holding calls that they definitely could have called, you know, against like Owe and who's 90, who's number 90 on our team.
Ojabo
got held a couple of times. I mean, until my arm wrapped around him, I thought they could have threw the penalty, but they didn't. So they let us play for pretty much the majority of the game. It wasn't a lot of penalties called. And that pass interference one against White, I thought was very questionable. He did get his head around. He was kind of backpedaling, kind of running backwards almost, three-quarter run, and kind of got shoved down by Coleman. He just tripped up and fell for the most part.
Yeah.
But he didn't pull the guy down with him or anything like that. I just didn't think that was a pass interference. But at the same time, you know, it's left to the discretion of the referee, and that gave up a touchdown, I think, on that same drive. You know, that kind of hurt us. You know, so
it was a 4-point swing.
The defense played their asses off, man. I cannot be mad at the defense at all. The only thing I can say is that we didn't get any turnovers on the defensive side of the ball. And in games like this, you got to be trying to force turnovers every opportunity you got. And a lot of their yardage they got for runs, their running yardage that they got was from the defense actually trying to take the ball from the running back throughout the entire game. So they was trying. They just didn't get those ball punched out like the other team got against us, and didn't get a chance to really pick anything off all game. They was really, really, really smart and safe with the ball. Buffalo probably played one of the most safest game plans I think I've ever seen. Run, 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 run. All the catches that they really threw was almost like stop routes, curl routes. You know, turn around, face the quarterback, see where the ball had been thrown at. Nobody can really get to the ball but you.
All chain movers.
Yeah, a lot of safe throws, man. And, you got to take your hat off to them. They played with the league the entire game. They really didn't have to force anything. It really wasn't pushed to have to try to push the ball downfield. And they did push it downfield a couple of times, and the guys was running wide open, and they missed a couple of throws too. So, you know, we got to do better, man. I mean, that's all. And then that's to say, I mean, we had a hell of a season. We learned a lot of lessons throughout this entire season. This is a game that we should have had. And could we have had a better game plan? Hell yeah, we could have had a better game plan. But I mean, you really don't need one. Just turn around and get a ball to 22 and 43. I mean, they as many yards as they had combined, you know, we could have just ran the ball the entire game and still been fine. That could have got rid of half your turnovers. The pick with Lamar, the fumble with Mark, and the fumble with Lamar. That would have got rid of all three of those plays if you just run the damn ball. You know, so at the end of the day, Derrick Henry didn't get 20 touches. Every time he get 20-plus touches, we win the game. So if you don't give him 20 touches at this point, it's almost like you didn't want to win it. That's all I can say.
It's really – here's what's the toughest thing for me, though, Daniel. And I've been trying to find the words to say without being overly critical of anybody and trying to remain steadfast in the approach of this show. you had the most prolific offense in the history of the NFL this year. One of the most prolific offenses to ever step foot on the football field. And the way you were playing teams the last 6 weeks where you're just dominating them. And I get it that none of them were Buffalo. And to me, Buffalo isn't we could have won this. If we don't turn the ball over, we win this game easily by a couple touchdowns because two of our three turnovers were in scoring position. And it's at least 10 points right there that we left between the Lamar fumble and the Andrews fumble alone. You know, that's a 10 point swing. We win this game and it's a completely different story. It's all coulda, shoulda, woulda, but this is I feel like this offense was wasted on the most inopportune timing. It seems like ever. This hurts. This isn't last year hurts, but this hurts, dude. This is going to be a tough one to deal with because again, you don't know what this team is going to look like in 2025. You don't know who's coming back. You don't know who's going to be here. You don't know if Todd Monken's going to be gone. You don't know what's going to be going on, Daniel. So this is like we've wasted two prolific years from Lamar, and admittedly, it's a lot of this game is on him as well.
Yeah,
but where do they go?
I don't know, man. I feel like in games like this, you know, you want the ball to be in the hands of your stars. And the way we came out, I felt like we was trying to throw the ball a little bit too much early on. I mean, you had a drive last week where you ran the ball 13 times, scored a touchdown, or 15 times and ran a touchdown on one drive. And I don't understand why there wasn't a game plan. Like, Josh Allen can't beat you if he's not on the field. So the game plan for me is to keep Josh Allen off the field, control the clock as much as possible, protect the ball, put the ball in the hands of the guys that run the ball more than anybody, Derrick Henry, Justice Hill, Keaton Mitchell, those type of guys. And then when they start coming up to try to load the box up, 9 to 10 guys, then you throw the shit over their head, you know? So I don't understand, you know, where we, you know, why we came in and tried to do what we tried to do. Like, it's just, to me, it don't make sense. Like, to me, Derrick Henry should have touched the ball 16 times the first half. Right. You know, and Justice Hill, the way he was running the damn ball, he ran the ball like a madman. He was on a mission today. Like, you could tell the way he ran the ball today that he wanted every damn bit of this win. He ran the ball probably hard as I think I've ever seen him run the ball. You know, so when you see somebody that has the hot hand like that, you give it to him because now him running the ball is going to set off, it's going to throw off the tempo and the temperament of the defense even more. So now when you get a ball back to Derrick, it's going to be right back downhill. And when you started seeing Derrick going downhill on those guys again, it's like, what were we thinking not to just continue to feed them? You know, feed those two dudes, man. And I just don't understand why we ain't run the ball this game 40 times.
The first two-point conversion bothered me because you ran the ball down their throat that entire drive.
And then
Derrick Henry's picking up. He had a run of 20. I think another run of 11. He ran for majority of his yards in that drive alone.
Yeah.
And then I understand Isaiah likely was open, but you have that defense spread out. RPO. Put the ball in Henry's gut, and if it's there, let him run with it. If it's not, take off. You have the speed to beat everybody on the edge. Yeah. So to me, that was a questionable call. And then you said it was a good decision for the game-ending two-point conversion. It just seems like they could have done a whole lot of different things differently. They could have run a bootleg. They could have run a play action. They could have done something because Lamar, with the ball in his hands, I understand he had two turnovers, but he still led a game-tying drive. You know, he still scored. He still took the team down the field. And it wasn't like we got down there by accident. He made the play. Yeah. He made a beautiful throw to Isaiah Likely.
Yeah.
You know, he did the whole drive.
He made great throws the entire drive
right through the ball. And then like the most underrated play of that drive, a lot of people don't realize is
the Tylan Wallace catch.
Not the Tylan Wallace catch. It's the Justice Hill play where Lamar had the defense closing in on him. He dumps it off for a simple 5-yard gain. It kept the chains moving, and that's what opened up the Tylan Wallace play. The very next play.
Yeah.
You know, so to me, he was doing everything that he possibly could on that last drive. And but the thing is, as always, three turnovers. You're not going to win. You shouldn't win a game with three turnovers.
Yeah.
And you can't fault the defense. They did everything they could. They, like you said, Buffalo played a safe offensive game plan. They played a lot of they ran a lot of chain moving plays, and it's unfortunate that we just didn't get it done. And I feel like this is going to be a very tough offseason because some choices are going to be made. Some guys are going to have to be let go. Some guys are going to have to move on. You know, you don't want to think about that in the immediate aftermath of the game, but there's no more season. You know, these guys are, you know, the guys that choose to opt to go to the Pro Bowl are going to go to Miami in a couple weeks for it. And then, you know, it's the off season. You got to prepare for the draft. It's really difficult to swallow. Like, these dudes take years off my life, man. This is absolutely crazy. Hey, they stress me out.
I just got a text from one of my teammates. One of my teammates, Henry, had 16 carries, not enough touches, and we shouldn't have went for it and went for two in the third quarter.
Where was that from?
One of our teammates. I don't want to throw him under the bus because he'll know we're live right now, and he's not saying this, but. One of my teammates just texted me that, you know, Henry had 16 carries, not enough. We shouldn't have went for two in the third quarters. I just finished saying the exact same thing. If you don't go for two, then you let Justin Tucker come up. We down by 1 point. I think it would have been 20-21 or something like that.
And
then
then
you come back and you score like we just did. Now we only down by 1 point. You kick the field goal again. You at least tie it. Or you go for two and win the damn game, you know, and then you give them you kick the ball. Instead of having to do the onside kick, you kick the ball full length of the field. Now they got to go the full length of the field to try to come down here and score. Anything could happen. You know, they could throw a pick, they could fumble the ball, script fumble. It could be anything, you know, or they can come back down and score and win the game themselves. But at least you put yourself in a situation at the end of the damn game, man. You know,
it's here's the thing that's crazy. Somebody brought this up in one of my group chats. The Ravens have run that exact play on a 2-point conversion three separate times in the postseason.
Yeah.
And Mark Andrews has dropped every single one of them. He now has 7 career drops in the postseason. For how many games he's played in the postseason? 7 drops.
He had 2 drops today. I mean, that's
today.
2 crucial drops, man. Shit. That first one stopped the drive. You know?
Yeah.
I feel bad.
You got to feel bad. But here's the thing about Mark Andrews. I know you're going to think this is absurd.
Go ahead. I'm listening.
But do you think the team has a tough decision to make with him? Even though he's still a superstar, he saves the team almost $12 million if they cut him after the season's over. And do you think that they invest in Isaiah Likely and some other key positions instead of holding him for a potential cap hit of?
Is he up right now? Is Mark up right now?
Last year of his contract. He's making $17 million next year. If they designate him as a post June 1st cut, that's $11 million off our cap. And it's, you know, $5 million in dead money.
It's a hard decision to make for the actual front office, man. When you think about it, like, he's always been Lamar's favorite target. You know, you get rid of him, now you get rid of your quarterback's best target or his most favorite target since he's been there. You know, it's a tough decision to make. You know, at some point you got to move on from everybody. So, you know, I'm going to leave that up to the front office to make that decision. But I think if it's me, you know, with Isaiah Likely, Kolar back there, you know, there's some other hot tight ends coming out, young guys. There's some free agency stuff coming up as well. You know, I think you got to weigh all your options and try to figure out what you want to do, you know, in that department. I know you got to try to figure out a way to keep Henry for another year. I would definitely do that. You know, you got to keep Justice Hill. He just got a contract extension, so he's locked in. Keaton Mitchell, you still got at least another year with Keaton, you know. So, I mean, you know, I don't know, man. I would play it by ear, I guess, and try to figure this thing out. But I would definitely go back to the drawing board and figure out who's expendable, you know, how much they helped us this year. You know, what would have been better if we had somebody else in that spot this year, and just kind of weigh your odds and your options out and then see what's on the market, man. You know, if you can get some more explosive, get another explosive tight end to come in, maybe, you know, not necessarily replace Mark, because when you got great guys, dog, it's hard to just replace them. You usually got to bring in 2 guys to replace that one guy, you know, so you just have to figure that out. I mean, hell, likely had another great game today, man. You know, so it's
he's showing that he can be tight end one, even though Andrews is still that, you know, still that. But, you know, we have other decisions we have to make. There's Marlon Humphrey. Are you going to extend him? You know, Ronnie Stanley's a free agent, and he just had his best year since his original contract extension.
Yeah, I don't know what you do about that either, because he was hurt for most of the damn contract that you signed him to.
Correct. You know, and then the last 2 years that he's been
healthy,
making crazy money, he's been healthy, and he's been playing at a seemingly Pro Bowl, all pro type of level. So do you chance having a new left tackle protecting Lamar next year? So you get now that's where the money comes in. If we don't, you're going to have to cut or trade Marcus Williams to get off of that money. You're going to have to figure out something with Andrews. You're going to have to figure out something with Marlon. You're going to have to restructure Lamar to.
You got some tough decisions to make, baby.
It's crazy that we have to think about this. You know, three nights ago, we're talking about
Super Bowl. I'm sick right now, bro. My stomach been hurting this entire fucking game. Yep. I don't know if it was something I ate or if it's just the game that making my stomach hurt. Hell, my stomach didn't hurt when I fucking played. I'm sitting here watching the game and my stomach's hurting like a damn game.
Dang. I did not eat a single thing during the game. I usually don't have a problem eating during Ravens games, but I did not eat a single thing during that game.
I've been sitting here drinking this damn ginger ale the entire game. I ate earlier today. I ate one time today. I drank this ginger ale almost the entire game because my stomach's been killing me since that first freaking turnover we had. Shit.
My nerves started getting jittery around 6 o'clock. My wife's like, "Are you okay?" I was like, "No, I'm not."
Sick to my damn stomach.
I didn't think it was going to be this bad. But after that first drive, I'm like, "Okay, here we go." And then they scored and punched us right back. And I'm like, "Okay, this is going to be a boxing match. This is going to be a heavyweight contender fight." And then the interception, and then the fumbles, and I don't know. Like the Lamar turnover was the Lamar interception was bad.
Both of them were bad.
But
he was even Andrews was bad too. All of them was at crucial times of the game.
I want to say that Andrews' fumble in the middle of the field is the worst of all three. Because we were moving the ball, and we were if Lamar like I can't say what's in the mind of Mark Andrews, and I know that you've been in this situation probably a million times over, but looking at the play, if Andrews just does his typical catch the ball and fall, you know, instead of trying to, he's not a shifty, explosive guy. He's a sneaky getting loose in coverage kind of guy, and it's like. You're trying to make a play in the open field and you got a fast, aggressive defense. And it's just like, oh my Lord. When that ball hit the ground, I was like, there's no way. I walked away from the television. That sucked the air right out of me.
I felt like a coach sitting up in the press box on that play. I was like, damn it, Mark. I jumped up like, damn, like what the hell? You know, like I was freaking pissed, bro. And I was like, man, I'm tripping. Like, what am I doing right now? Like, you know, I literally felt like a coach up in the press box watching that damn play. And I understood where Mark was coming from because of the fact that the entire game was stressful for us. It wasn't stressful for the Bills because they're at home. Like, it's so loud on offense. Like, even if you just go back and watch the footage of when you see them get in the huddle, when they got in the huddle, there was no formation to the huddle no more. Everybody was balled around Lamar trying to stick their head in there just so they could try to hear the play because it was ridiculously loud, you know. So when you got up to the line of scrimmage, you couldn't hear the snap count, you couldn't hear anything. Lamar was walking up to the line of scrimmage, you know, trying to get the plays in, let everybody know what to change into and stuff. It was a miserable environment to play in. It was freezing cold. You couldn't hear shit, you know. So you was making mistake after mistake after mistake. Even the corner route with Bateman, I felt like they could have had something to do with the noise in there, you know, him not understanding to keep the damn corner high, you know, and breaking it off low. So it's just, you know, that type of interception hasn't been, we haven't seen that interception all year long. And now we had it this game, you know. So the environment was crazy. It was a crazy environment. The players was playing with a ton of excitement. It was a lot of, you know, talking to each other in each other's face, talking crap to each other, a couple of cheap shots here. There was a lot of holding going on.
Yeah.
It was a physical game. Buffalo came. knowing they had to be physical. Go ahead.
The refs let a lot of shit go. We talked about that earlier in the game.
They let us play. They let us play. I love it.
I'm saying, like, a lot of the chippiness after the play was over. Mm-hmm. I mean, Ronnie Stanley slammed the one dude into the referee, and there was no flag. Lamar got hit.
Well, he didn't. If you watch that play right there, too, it was another flop play. That guy tried to – he pulled Stanley down on top of him. Stanley wanted to push him, and he grabbed him.
I'm just saying I'm surprised it wasn't another – I'm just surprised.
It could have been, but the referee wasn't a dumbass. He knew what the hell was going on. He knew the guy pulled Stanley on top of him. He realized Stanley didn't push him for real, and the guy actually snatched him and pulled him down. But you're right. Metabuke had a push, and the guy flopped on that one, too. You know, it was a lot of that flopping shit going on in this game. If you watch the game closely.
It was. I don't want this to sound like sour grapes because of the outcome of the game.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
But I still don't see what the big deal is with Josh Allen.
Yeah.
I'm looking at it. I don't see what the big deal was. He was 16 of 22 for 127 yards. He didn't throw a touchdown. Yeah. And he had 20 yards on the ground with two touchdowns. Like, to me, they capitalized on turnovers more than Josh Allen beat us. They just played better when the ball was when they got the ball down at in the red zone. And I'm not saying that's just because, but Josh Allen had 147 combined yards. And this is the MVP that they're talking about, and they're probably going to give it to him based on the outcome of this game.
He deserves it. Give it to him, bro. It is what it is. Hell, we didn't know what we were supposed to do. But it's kind of hard to tell from a game like this, Matt. They had to lead the entire game, you know. So what he had to be was a game manager for the whole game. He didn't have to do no dynamic super.
He barely did that. I mean,
they didn't have no turnovers, bro.
Yeah, I know. They played a very conservative game.
Yeah, our MVP had two turnovers this game. Okay.
Yeah.
Their MVP didn't have no turnovers. They played a very conservative game. They played a very smart game. They was nickel and dime. They took whatever they can get. They did not try to force anything. He did not try to force anything. It was no balls even close to being intercepted this game. Think about that on our standpoint. Can you think of one play that one of us got our hands on the ball, almost picked it off? I can't think of one. I can't think of one. So he did exactly what he was supposed to do in a leadership role. And with playing with a lead the entire game, don't give you a chance to turn it over. We turned the ball over three freaking times today, bro. And we still had a chance to win the game, you know? So this ain't the first time it happened to us. Yeah, it would look like it won't be the last. I mean, this whole season been kind of the same way this game was. And, you know, just like Brendan was saying, like we made a lot of mistakes early on that we learned from, and this was going to be a better situation because of those games. And hell, it looked like we reverted right back to being in those same situation. This was a tough game, bro. There's a lot of pressure on this game. It was a whole lot of pressure on this game. Now, you wanted to show out and show your best. You wanted to show your best you during a game like this. And there was some guys that came that was fucking ready to play. And as a head coach and as a OC and a DC, you got to be dialed in and reeled in enough to know, all right, who's ready to make some big plays this game and put the balls in their hand repeatedly. And we just didn't do that enough. You know, like I said, Derrick Henry only touched the ball 16 times. In every game that we've won, he's had the ball 20-plus times. So, you didn't want to win this game if you didn't give it to him 20. Just the analytics alone would tell you to make sure the man touched the ball at least 20 times. You got a better chance of winning the game. You know, so I don't know what to say about it, bro. Like, and I agree with my teammate. Like I said earlier, like we should not have went for two earlier. And I understand the process of trying to tie it. But take the sure points. And trust your offense enough that they're going to score again. And trust your defense enough they're going to stop them again. You know what I mean? Like, that's all I'm saying.
I agree with you. And I'll say this. A lot of the times, a lot of these fans on social media, more so than anything else, they want to blame Harbaugh. I think Harbaugh coached a good game. I mean, you can't coach turnovers and the results of the turnovers. I mean, two out of those three, the Bills were in excellent field position. And the defense played well. They gave up 27, you know, but the offense has got to score more than 27. And that's on them at the end of the day. And at all times for the offense to choke and the defense to step up is a win or go home type of situation, Daniel. And I'll say this. I don't put any of this on Harbaugh. And yeah. I've been a huge Harbaugh critic the last couple years, Dean. This isn't on him. Like, I don't want to see any Harbaugh slander on the timeline.
Only thing I can say, we ain't run a damn ball enough. And sometimes when you the head coach, you're the only person that can make that happen. You know,
you're right.
So I can remember being on the sideline hearing Billy say, run the damn ball on the headset.
Yeah.
Stop throwing the freaking, you know what I'm saying? Like, run the damn ball. Like, you got dogs back there in the backfield. Run the damn ball. Shit, man. Run the ball, man. Damn. I said the same thing last year in the AFC Championship. Run the damn ball. You're the number one rushing offense in the league, bro. Run the damn ball.
At least this wasn't a game where we ran the ball six times. I mean, Justice Hill had six carries alone for 50. And if you combine that with the 16 from Derek, that's 22 carries to the running backs. And that's generally a good omen, especially in a situation where it's snowing, it's cold, you know, a lot of the passing game isn't working. But like you said, these turnovers kill us. And on all three of those turnovers, there's Derek's four carries right there alone that's going to get him over that 20 carry mark. It's unfortunate that it happened this way, but that's a wrap on the 2024 Baltimore Ravens season. A lot of wounds to go lick and a lot of things that are going to be, you know, tough to watch in the aftermath of this. But before we go, Daniel, I will say this. I would rather see a Mahomes three-peat than see Josh Allen win a Super Bowl. I'm a hater, and I'm going to be a hater forever. I would rather see Mahomes go and win in a third, or I would rather see that kid, Jaden Daniels, get a Super Bowl before I see Josh Allen get one, because that's just the hater in me, but that'll do it for the show, Daniel.
Yeah.
You know, let everybody know where they can find you that's following along live. We want to thank everybody for the comments and for following along and tuning in to the final post-game reaction show for the Believe in Ravens podcast. Daniel, where can everybody find you on social media?
You can find me on X, man, at Coach Wilcox. You can find me on IG at Daniel.Wilcox. And I appreciate you guys for watching all season long. We had a heck of a season this year. Had a bunch of great guests on. It's been a phenomenal season for the Baltimore Ravens. We fell short, one game short of the ultimate goal. Hopefully, it will be better in years to come, man. And, you know, it's been fun, man. Matt, I've enjoyed you all year, bro. I appreciate Absolutely. You, bro. Tell everybody where to find you at.
Everybody can find me on Instagram at mtrig89. You can find me on X at mtrig_BIR. On Facebook, you can just look up our names, and we interact with all of our listeners and their fans. You can find us there. That'll do it, folks. We'll be back a little bit later in the off season to start the off season coverage of the Baltimore Ravens going into the 2025 year. That is a wrap.
Bird Gang out 2024.